Well, I'm really happy to be here. I'm really, really happy to be here. I know that we are online right now, so people out there who are visiting us via the internet, we thank you. We ask that you have a blessed time with us and that the words of this sermon reach your heart. So let's have a word of prayer first of all. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for our time together. We ask, Lord, that you bless us. I ask, Lord, that you bring forth a good message from me, Lord. Let the truth be heard. We thank you so much for Pastor Richard and the crew that is out there. We ask for safety for them, that you watch over them, that you keep them safe. And we ask, Lord, that you just let them feel that your presence in a special way this weekend. Lord, we just want to also pray for those who may be hurting and have hard times. That are citizens of this, members of this church, Lord, that may be going to operations or may have some frailties or ailments. Lord, we just pray for healing. We pray for guiding the surgeon's hands. And we ask, Lord, that you just watch over those people, Lord. And we just pray for our community, Lord. Just a really rough time we're having, so we just ask for your peace and your comfort that we can only find through you, Lord. We thank you. And finally, Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our Lord and our Savior and our rock and our refuge. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, when Pastor Richard told me, you call him Richard here? Rich. Okay, when Rich asked me to preach, I thought that'd be really a lot of fun. I'm a little out of practice. It's been a while since I've preached, in a couple months now at least. So I'm thinking, I had this really good sermon that I did for the church on this series I did on what led up to the Passover meal and the crucifixion, and I'm like, it was a revelation that God gave me. It was really cool. And I'm like, I can really impress those folks at the heart of Christ if I did this one sermon. It was the coolest thing. So I'm getting ready to do it, and I sense the Holy Spirit saying, ask me a question. Mick, that's how he calls me, Mick. Are you going to the heart of Christ Church so you can impress them? And I went, oh God, you did it again. He always convicts me, and I understood that, you know, this week I had to totally change what I was going to do. Maybe I can do that sermon some other time, but it wasn't the right one. So I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to preach about? So he gave me this, and it's kind of funny because it came at a really opportune time. I guess we know our country's in a little bit of a hot mess, don't you think? We have the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and I was like, I went to the marches for many, many years on January 22nd. I kind of wish they did it July 22nd, but they had to do it on January 22nd, cold and wet and damp. But I was faithful, and I went, and it was peaceful, and it was, we got to walk up to our senators' offices and just talk to them, and it was calm, and it was wonderful, and to see 300,000 people on average every year come. I don't think people realize when you watch it on TV, they'll show you a couple hundred people in the front marching, but there's hundreds of thousands behind them. It was an incredible feeling to know that there was this many people praying. And now, 50 years later, and it hit me the other day, I started crying. I just couldn't help it. I've been waiting so long for this to happen. It's sort of like a spiritual lift. I don't even want to think it's political or judicial. I think it's a spiritual thing. And the truth of the Bible really shows us how important it is to love life and to choose life. So that's overturned. But then I was watching the news this morning just to check up on things, and Arizona senators were held hostage in their place. In Portland, Oregon, they threw some kind of firebomb through the pregnancy center there. Colorado had bad things. There was a bridge shut down. A policeman was almost murdered because of this in Los Angeles. In New York, they clambered the streets. And at the same time this week, the gun laws were passed, and the legislature passed the gun laws. And I didn't see anybody shooting up the courthouse from that thing. But there's this turmoil going on in... And then I look overseas, and we have the Ukraine war going on, and Russia occupying Ukraine, and there's talks of maybe even World War III because of Kaliningrad, whatever that is, the little thing, and people attacking there. I guess you're all following this, and China maybe taking over Taiwan, and Iran getting a nuclear weapon, and Israel shooting stuff at and killing people, and I'm like, my word, this country, this world is a hot mess. And then your spirit gets heavy, doesn't it? Aren't you tired? There's a sense, especially for people who don't know Jesus, a sense of helplessness, and maybe worse, a sense of insignificance. People feel like they're insignificant. They're caught up in these causes. They lose themselves. I really do think people are looking for purpose and meaning, and they look for these groups that they feel as though this could be where they could plant their feet and say, this is what I believe. And it turns out to be empty promises. It's terrible. I think it's terribly wonderful.
Whoa, stop. Don't move anywhere.
Terribly wonderful. Why do I say that? Because now the church has a wonderful opportunity to show the love of Christ to all people, to show that they have meaning and purpose in life, that they are significant because there's a God in heaven who loves them. And since the Spirit lives in us, the power of Christ lives in us. So listen to this. Church, get this. The church is the most powerful entity in the universe. Did you hear me? You are powerful. You are very powerful. Apart from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the most powerful thing in the universe. How could that be? Well, how could it not be? The God of the universe who created you lives inside you. Lives inside of us. Do you believe this? Is this true? This is truth. If this is actually the truth, then can we believe that the Spirit can rise inside us to be able to change the world? The heart of Christ can change the world. I want you to walk out of this place with all surpassing, you hear me? I want you to walk out of this place with an all surpassing joy that there's nothing more powerful in the universe other than what lives in you. That you should, do you feel your spirit just lift when you think about how wonderful it is that God lives in you? Could you stand up? Please just stand up. I just want you to stand up if you can. You're standing in your spirit. I want you to take a deep breath. And as you take a deep breath, I want you to feel the Spirit of the Lord come inside you. She's always there, but you need to have that breath in you. I want you to take it. Ready? So, 1, 2, 3. And just praise Him as it leaves. Praise you, Lord. You say it if you want, or you can just let it feel. Close your eyes for a second. Understand that at this moment where you stand, you, this church right here, is the most powerful entity in the universe because God lives in you. Do you feel it? I hope you walk out of here with a little bit of lift in your heart, with a little bit more joy, realizing that you can conquer this world. You already have. Jesus has already conquered it. Why don't you have a seat? It's crazy, isn't it? In this cold-hearted world, we have freedom. So I want to read to you our chapter. I'm just going to take chapter 5 of Galatians. All right. And we're going to look at what Paul says. Because the thing is, okay, we know we are the most powerful thing in the world, in the universe. How do we express that? How do we go around living in this world? So I'm going to kind of tell you. So let's turn our hearts to Scripture. First of all, I want to pray just real quick here. I don't know what's going on over there, but let's just pray. Father, we bless, what's her name? Abby. We bless Abby, Lord, right now. We ask for health. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit is in her right now and that she feels stronger and stronger. We ask, Lord, that you watch over her. Give her health and give her peace. Let her feel your comfort. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So let us turn our hearts to Galatians 5, 1 through 15. It's two parts. I'm going to read the whole first part, 1 through 15, for you. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit against the yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view and that one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you have been called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. All right, so how is the heart of Christ in any church be able to move forward and to be able to bring this power of salvation that Jesus gives us, this joy that we have inside of us? Well, the problem in here isn't exactly circumcision. At the time it was, the Judaizers, the Christian Jews, some of them thought that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. So Paul was arguing that, no, you can't add on to what Jesus did on the cross. It's impossible. And if you do, then if the law of circumcision is important and has to be done in order to fulfill eternal life through Christ, then what about all the other laws of the Old Testament. What about sacrifice? Did not the blood of Christ handle all that, or do we have to go back to sacrificing? Do we have to go back to the Sabbath? Do we have to go and do all the old laws that are written down, or are we free from them? That was Paul's argument here, that circumcision is not salvation. It's not Jesus plus. It's not Jesus plus circumcision or sacrifice of animals. David Campbell put it this way, and this is what the church has to hear in order for us to move forward and to be able to conquer the world. Here's a word. Here are these words from David Campbell. But what does circumcision have to do with us? A very great deal. Circumcision, as we encounter in Galatians, symbolizes something all too commonly encountered. It stands for every good work, every religious ceremony, and every effort after obedience that people think is necessary in order to be right with God. It stands for a religion that is all about doing one's best and trying one's hardest, a religion that is focused on working and meriting rather than trusting wholly in Jesus. Dressed in these different clothes, the error that invaded the Galatian churches is alive and well in the world and church today. That's a quote from David Campbell in his book, Opening Galatians. Oh, wow. So it's not Jesus plus, it's just Jesus. So the first thing we have to do, I believe, in a church, is to discern those things that causes dissension in our church, that causes us to not be able to be effective for God. This happens in two ways, individually and church-wise. Now, we already have a couple strikes against us, don't we? I mean, we have the sin nature in us, right? Strike one. And the other one is we have an adversary called the devil, strike two, who is tempting us and constantly trying to cause us to be ineffective, all right? Those are two things. It happens in the church, too. Now, he can't take away our salvation, can he? Jesus can't even steal our joy if we don't let him. But what he can do to a single Christian is to make him or her ineffective for the kingdom. That's what he can do. But not only to an individual, but also to a church. So how do we combat that? How do we get around that? How are we to live so that we can move forward? Well, by walking in the Spirit. So this is the next part of Galatians 5 that I'll read really quickly. But because the Holy Spirit is so important for us. He is our guide. He is our comforter. He's our companion. He's our champion. He intercedes for us and is always an ever-present help in time of need. Also realize that he is present and joins in our joys and our contentment. He is all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing, and the Holy Spirit is God. We forget that he walks with us and lives with us every hour of every day. So here's Paul's answers to us, the church. Follow along, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we will also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There's a couple things, four things. It's important for the church to realize about this. First, we walk in the Spirit or we live in the Spirit. There is less chance of us to be caught in temptation if we hold on to the Spirit during everything we do. We're tempted a lot by a lot of things, aren't we? I mean, I don't think I'm tempted by orgies or things like that, but I could say I'd be tempted with fits of anger or dissension, idolatry maybe even, strife, things that put you down, depression. But if I walk in the Spirit and I know the Spirit's in me, you can't steal my joy, my friends. You can't steal it. It's mine because God has given it to me. Will I make mistakes? Sure. But God lifts me back up. The Holy Spirit says, "Get going. Let's get going." So if you walk in the Spirit, there's less chance of temptation. In this passage, it also says, down a little bit farther in 18, it says, but you, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Led by the Spirit is very freeing. This is the part that's very freeing because we did away with works, didn't we? I mean, we just said works have no merit if you're not through the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit get a hold of you and bring you where you have to go. Sometimes the Spirit, you'll be in the grocery store, like happens to my wife all the time, and she'll see somebody who looks down. I don't know how she figures this out. I'm like oblivious to half the stuff that's going on. And she'll just walk over to this person and say, "Can I pray with you?" I think the Holy Spirit is prompting her to do that. I never see it fail her because she's so in tune with the Spirit that it works and the person never turns her away. There was a time in my life where there was a point where I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to do something and I chickened out. It happens to all of us. However, God is forgiving. I've learned from that. I've learned to try to please God, and the more I know of God, I know of the Spirit, the more I try to please Him. I had a friend, he was a charismatic Episcopalian. If there could ever be a charismatic Episcopalian, he was one. He was the director of our choir of a church I was at, and played the organ. He was a wonderful man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. One day, he and his friend were driving in the car, and they started singing these songs, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they felt the Spirit leading them. So they started driving. They didn't even know where they were going. They ended up at a hospital. They pull in. They get out, and they're still singing, and they walk in, and they don't stop at the register or anything. They just walk in, and they walk to the elevator, and they push a button, and they go up. And they're praising the Lord, and they're like, "Well, I don't know where He's leading us, but we're going to follow." So they went in. They started walking down the hallway, and they go into this room, and there's this person there who's very, very sick and very ill. They don't know the person. The person doesn't know them. And they come over, and they say, "The Spirit told us to come and pray over you. I'm not making this up. This is truth." So the person said, "Okay." And so they prayed over him. They left. And later on, they found out that this person was healed. And they're like, "Who was this man who came, these men who came into your room?" And the person said, I didn't know, no clue who they were. They didn't even wait for anything. They just left. They were just so praising God. They were still being followed. Now, are we going to get that far? It would be really cool. But I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to just to follow where the Holy Spirit leads you. Follow Him. Be led by the Spirit. And then, of course, we need evidence, produce of who we are in Christ. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's probably more. Is there evidence to your faith? Do people see you as filled with love and joy and peace? Do they see you with kindness and gentleness? Outside the church, are you that person? Would you be willing in the middle of a protest to be able to fall on your knees and pray for those people who you disagree with vehemently? Would you be able to love them beyond your own presuppositions of who they are and be able to say that God loves this person and wants them not to perish and be eternally damned? Can I get that far to understand where the Holy Spirit is? And be able to listen to the Holy Spirit when he says, yes, go over and confront those 30 people. Or, no, don't do that right now. There's times, and he'll tell you, that's the freeing part about the Holy Spirit. But is this evidence of who you are? Now, I'm talking individually, but let's talk about the church too. Do people see this church as filled with love and joy and peace, as filled with goodness and faithfulness, self-control? Do you see yourself within the church? My friends, there are people in churches, believe it or not, that cause division, that cause dissension, that gossip, that have subcommittees out in the parking lot or in the bathroom. That badmouth a pastor or an elder or something that's happening in the church, causing dissension, that have fits of anger because they think they're saving the church. And actually what they're doing is destroying the church. What do you do with someone like that? You pray for them. You use these things, because this is who you are. You use gentleness and kindness and love, and you win them over with love. Also, when you join together and people see that you are filled with this, you become very effective. You become attractive. You become something that someone wants to be, wants to see. You become very effective. As much as those other things will make you ineffective, these things, by being gentle and kind to one another, if you have a grievance with one person, then go to that person in gentleness and kindness and in love and in joy. And maybe you agree to disagree, but that's okay. And finally, keep in step with the Spirit. Sounds like marching to me. Like we have our marching orders. This is what we got to do. Now, as for the church, when we keep in step with the Spirit, it means that we are moving on the same vision and in one accord. The result is that the church becomes very effective and powerful. You become very powerful. This defeated feeling that people have in the world, you do not have to have that. Isn't that incredible? Can you be filled in joy as you're looking at all the stuff that's happening in the world? Sure. I pray that Jesus comes back tomorrow. In fact, there's times when I'm like, Lord, today's a good day. And I think we're getting mighty close to him coming back. But if he tarries, that's okay too. I'll see him eventually. I'd rather see the heavens roll open like a scroll. That would be really awesome. But if I pass away before that time, I'll see him face to face. I hold on to that truth, that truth that God loves me and has died for my sins. Bear one another's burdens, friends. Read chapter 6 on your own this week. Read all the Galatians this week. But I challenge you to read chapter 6 because it goes on and tells you exactly what we need to do with one another. And above all, don't let anybody steal your joy to understand who God is fully in your life, to know that the King of the universe lives in you through the Holy Spirit, and that you are the most powerful thing. Right here, this church is the most powerful thing in the universe. Lift up your spirits, lift up your hearts, lift up your heads to the Lord. Let him love you and lavish you in his love. And as he does that, let that love pervade and push out like living waters to other people who are so thirsty. So thirsty. And finally, bless Richard, Rich. Bless your church. Love one another as Jesus tells us to do. If we do all these things, there is no law. There's only love. There is only Jesus. Can we pray? Oh, Father, we love you so much, Lord. We thank you that any moment in any part of the day we can reach out to you and you are there through the Spirit in our hearts. Let joy and love and peace and faithfulness and goodness and gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control, those things fill our hearts. Help us to live that way. It's the evidence of who we are in you. And Jesus, help us to be the very reflection of who you are to others out there who desperately need you. Help us to see through your eyes and help us to use our hands and feet to help those who are lost. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege and the joy of being your servants. And we pray this all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.